A61. Number 20, A.
Yeah. So we take principle and just go through the ideas of principle, trying to see if we can get the tone of it. And with principle, it seems rather easy, because the ideas that are expressed through the synonymous term principle are not very numerous. They are more or less always the same. In order to introduce the synonym principle, we have first taken the sense that Mrs. Eddy uses that principle, so to say, in two ways. Either as a creative principle, which gives the nature of principle, namely mind, spirit, soul, or as the triune principle, which he calls life, truth, and love. So we can see that principle has, so to say, two wings. One wing is showing the nature of a principle, what constitutes the nature of a principle, anyway, the principle of Christian Science, namely the creative principle, mind, spirit, soul. And the second wing, on the other side of the definition, is life, truth, and love as the demonstration of that principle, or the essence of the principle. The essence means what in relationship to nature? In relationship to nature, essence means the really important part about the nature. Essence is the concentrated sense of something. And what principle is really, what it really operates, is that it operates as the living principle, life, as the factual principle, truth, and as the principle that is the principle of all and everything, has a tone of love. So the principle we must more or less consider as that which takes together those two wings, which really puts under his own wings all the other synonymous terms, and says, I am the principle of every one of those synonymous terms. Therefore, we will see later on that we can see that mind is the principle of, then we'll see of what. Spirit is the principle of, and we'll see what. Soul is the principle of, and we'll see what. Huh? And so it's the principle of life, and the principle of truth, and the principle of love. Therefore, we can see that each synonymous term has its principle, or is a principle for of its ideas. So, can we see first why Mrs. Eddy speaks about the creative principle in contrast to mind that is creative? We have seen that mind is a creator, that mind creates, and now suddenly she speaks about the creative principle. What does it mean when it is an adjective and principle is the principle of creation? Well, it means what is that which has been creative. We have seen in order to bring forth a creation, we need the creative mind, mind as the creator. But we also need spirit that brings forth, that gives birth, that unfolds really the ideas of mind. Because if it doesn't unfold the ideas, we have not really a creation. But even unfolding and bringing forth is not enough. We must see, in order that we have a creative principle, that which is created through the unfolding stages of spirit has definite identities, soul. Only then, when we have a creation of infinite definite identities, we really have established in consciousness a universe of ideas, the nature of idea. Is that clear? That therefore mind, spirit and soul are only giving us the nature of that principle. They tell us, how shall we put it? If we see that God is the principle of all, you naturally ask, well, what kind of a principle is that? What is the nature that constitutes this principle? Just as if we have the principle in chemistry, or the principle in arithmetic, or the principle in music, you ask, well, what are the constituents of this principle? Not just saying there is a principle, we must know the elements that constitute that principle. Here, in Christian Science, or in the science of being, we would see that that which constitutes the principle of being is actually mind, spirit, soul. It isn't life, truth and love. Life, truth and love is the way this principle demonstrates or expresses or operates itself. Can you see, therefore, how Mrs. Eddy would show that in order to demonstrate the divine principle, we cannot start with demonstrating the divine principle except we first have a good knowledge of what constitutes the nature of that principle. So if in practice we don't have a good sense of mind and spirit and soul, which constitute the principle, it's no use to start out and say, well, I'm going to demonstrate God as the principle in this and this and that case. What are you going to demonstrate? What is the nature we are going to demonstrate? If we are going to demonstrate life, what kind of life are we going to demonstrate? Are we going to demonstrate life in matter or life in spirit? Are we going to demonstrate life in body? Are we going to demonstrate life in soul? Can you see? All what comes after principle as a demonstration of principle must have the nature of that principle, must have the nature of mind, spirit and soul. Therefore that principle cannot demonstrate life, a kind of life, a nature of life which is different from mind, spirit, soul. Is that clear? Thank you. Not everybody has made that. So we can see that the prerequisites, so to say, for any demonstration and for knowing what should be demonstrated, the prerequisites lie in mind, spirit, soul. Therefore, if somebody tries to demonstrate life in matter and life in body, he shows that he does not know the nature of that principle. Because principle is not matter, is not body, is life, is spirit and soul. And can you see why, therefore, so often in practice a patient tries to arrive at the demonstration which actually is wrong? He tries to demonstrate life, truth and love in mortal mind, in matter, in body. He wants to see it expressed there. He wants to see that it is expressed in the material universe, that it is expressed in his body. And therefore he has a wrong attitude. He tries to demonstrate something which he shouldn't, or which is not in line with Christian Science. He should really try to demonstrate that principle in life in spite of mortal mind and in spite of matter and in spite of body, and not in order to demonstrate it in the mind of people, in matter, in body. It's a different attitude. Yeah. So that is, I think, what is so important when Mrs. Eddy, especially in the chapter on Genesis, speaks about the creative principle. So can we think every time we think about the creative principle, think about mind, spirit, soul, so to say, about the prerequisites of true creation. Then she would go on and show the other side of the definition of God, you know, principle in the middle and three synonymous, or from looking from you, it's principle and three synonymous term on this side, that's on your left side, and on the right side from you are life, truth and love, which is the Trinity. The Trinity, which Mrs. Eddy says, is life, truth and love. It is actually showing that it isn't so much a sequence, but a triad, not so much principle expressing itself first in life and then afterwards in truth and then afterwards in love. It is actually a triad which says, I'm the triune principle. My principle is threefold. Just as in the Old Testament, the name Elohim was a plural form, not a singular form. It meant, therefore, the Trinity of God. And Mrs. Eddy explains that Trinity, that one God in its threefold nature, as life, truth, and love. Or then in the biblical expression as Father, Son, and Mother. Yeah. All right. So we have here, I think on your list, the creative principle, then the triune principle. Actually, we could also put in here, which I didn't do in the compendium, it's really the person of God when you capitalize person. The person of God is really principle. Then we really come to the main point of the characteristics of principle, namely that all ideas have the same principle. That all ideas have the same principle. Now, this is really the fourth step in the order of science, and so we have to see the line of reasoning leading to principle. What is it? What did we see? Mind. So mind is the creator, the cause that brings forth all ideas, that manifests all ideas. That's what mind creates. Mind cannot create anything else but ideas. Then spirit has come and said, and these ideas constitute actually reality. They are substantial. They are really spiritually tangible substance. Soul said, yes, but these ideas, they don't look each similar to the other one. They are not, they have not the same quality and the same form. They are very distinct. They have identity, distinct identity. Each idea of mind has a completely different identity, has a completely different mission, has a completely different job to fulfill, has completely different qualities to express. They are infinitely identified. And so soul shows that each idea has another identity. Therefore we have this infinite rarification of ideas, so that we don't have always the same ideas, but infinite varieties of ideas. And now what is happening with these infinite varieties of ideas? Has known each idea that has its own identity, which is which has nothing in, so to say, in common with the other idea, but has its distinct feature, its distinct job, its distinct office, its distinct mission to fulfill. Are these ideas now operating the way they like? Are they now little gods and say, I'm an identity and I'm absolutely different from the all the other identities, and therefore I'm my own little god and I'm going now to do what I want to do because I have my own identity? And you can see that something more is necessary, namely something that holds now all these ideas together into one. Yes? That they are not functioning each by itself, that each one has its own principle, has its own way of operating, can do what it wants to do. You see? But that now principle comes and says, you know, all these ideas, though they are completely different, though they are absolutely distinguishable from each other, because though they, each one has its own identity to fulfill and does not fulfill the mission of any other idea, still they are not little gods by itself. They are not little principles by itself who can now function and do what they like. They all are under one big government of principle. They all have one principle. That's the tone we have to see in principle. That in principle you have a new aspect of being coming in, which says, though they are infinitely individualized and classified ideas, each one having its own identity, still something unites them into one. Not their characteristics unite them into one, but their relationship unites them into one. They have one principle. See, like if every idea somehow would be gathered into, now what you say, if they were on a string, so to say, from one governing king who has all these ideas on the string and says, you can't do what you like to do, you only can do what I allow you to do. It's in the reins, would you say the reins, the horse, you have the horse in the reins, you see? That's, you sit there on your, what you saw, what do you call that chart, where you sit and do the, have the horses in your reins?
Chariot,
yeah. Yeah, you sit there, huh, on the, after the book. Steffi, help me a bit there, huh? Yeah, man sits auf dem Bock, huh? Auf dem. All right, you know it. Huh? Yeah. So principle is that, huh, that sits there, so to say, on the throne and keeps all the reins in his hand, huh? And tells to every idea what to do within a whole. Huh? So this is a new concept. Can you see a new aspect? And naturally we can see that this new aspect is only possible if before we had mind that were creating the ideas, spirit that showed that these ideas are the only realities and the only substantial things, and soul that gave to each one of these ideas identity. Only then you have really your horses that you keep in your rein. And therefore only then can you say, now I get them together into a central point and I govern them from a central point, so that the idea is not free to do what it wants to do. The idea is always an idea of its principle. It's still an idea of its cause. It's still an idea of its creator. And this gives us that sense that all ideas have one principle. Therefore, you hear in the textbook so much, we will see that without perhaps that we are aware of it, so much that principle is always the principle of all, principle of everything, the principle of the universe, the principle of all. Then we know that terrific statement that Mrs. Eddy finally made in the textbook 1907, Principle and Its Idea. Oh, yeah. Now, first we have, I think first you have principle and its idea. And its infinite ideas. Mm-hmm. But always we must see that when she gives that sense of principle and infinite ideas, she always has somehow in her mind the relationship existing between principle and its ideas. That there is a definite, unbreakable relationship between principle and its many, many ideas. So that we have as the next one, the idea must be seen in its principle. Can you see? It's all about this relationship. Either we can look at this relationship from the standpoint of principle, and then we see that principle has infinite ideas, or we can look at this relationship from the point of view of the infinite ideas and say there are infinite ideas, but we must at once see that they are centered together, that they are bound together into one principle. And therefore, we should see that every idea is brought back in consciousness to its principle. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means something quite powerful, something very potent. If an idea comes to us, you see, through mind, the light breaks, and it comes to us and says, here is an idea, and it breaks as light, and light is not very definite yet. It's just bright. There's not yet the contour. Do you say contour? You see? It comes and wakes up in us something that says, oh yes, you see, a light is breaking. Then we begin to think about it and ponder about it, and so this is the second stage of unfolding, where things begin to unfold and sort, and things are sorting out in consciousness, and things are sorting out in consciousness, they become more and more definite in soul. But when they have become definite, then we must be careful that we don't think, oh, now I see it. Now it stands out very clearly, some kind of, now I got it. You haven't got it. Because only then, when we see, oh, this idea that has come to me is not now in me, it's still an idea of the principle. And you have to see it, to see it back in its principle, to put it back into its principle. Why? Because in that way we give to that idea the whole authority of principle, the whole governing power of principle. Else we think, what can I do with that idea? How can I put this idea now into operation? How can I put it into use? Have you ever heard said that? Huh? How can I put these ideas into use? Well, that's wrong. Huh? We cannot put it into use. That's the point where we can't see that an idea is an idea of principle. That we have in consciousness to bring it back to its principle and say it has come from mind, so it's still in mind, and I have to put it right back into mind as the principle of governing. So you put it back into mind as the principle of all. And therefore, vest. And you say vesting, yeah? Therefore, vest the idea with the authority of principle instead of the authority of me doing something with it. We take it away from the person, from us, and put it right back from where it came from, and see, it is still related to its principle. And principle has to take care of this idea and operate that idea, and therefore demonstrate the idea the way principle wants to demonstrate it as life, truth, and love. Not the way I like to demonstrate it as life, truth, and love. Yes,
though? They put it back into its principle. You're talking about putting it back into the principle of mind in that sense?
Absolutely. See, Daniel. Yeah? Absolutely. See, when you say we put it back into its principle, what is the principle? Its principle is that it came, that it was created from mind. We put it back to its principle, namely that we see that spirit unfolded it. So spirit, we put it back to spirit as the principle of unfoldment. We put it back to soul as the principle of identification. That's why we have to see that mind, spirit, soul is the principle. At those three synonymous terms, is the principle. Therefore we can still always put every idea back and say it's still in the conceiving mind, in the creative, impelling, conceiving, all-intelligent, all-powerful, all-active mind. We still can put it back, that idea, into the infinite incubator of spirit, where in the infinite incubator of spirit that idea is always brought forth, always given birth to, always unfolded and brought forth. We can put it right back into the soul as the infinite principle of the infinite capacity of soul, where we see that idea has infinite capacities. It is not limited in any way, it has the soul is its principle. Can you see now, can you hear how you now begin to play with those first three synonymous terms as the principle? Mind is now the principle, spirit is now the principle, soul is now the principle of an idea.
So you go back to the source, which is its authority, and that gives it the authority within the framework of principle.
Absolutely. So principle indicates only the relationship back to it, to its source. That's principle.
That takes it out of fantasy or guesswork.
Or guesswork, yeah. And it takes you away to make it personal or to put it into one's ego. Yes.
Therefore, the overall principle then functions because you've got everything in its right place.
Exactly.